Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Oh yeah, baby. Here we go. Back at the captain's seat. I told Pipes I've got to jump into the captain's seat on occasion so I don't forget how to do it, is basically where we're at.
I think this means I'm getting traded.
We do have Kyle on MLB Trade Watch, so anytime something happens, Kyle will jump in. Paul DeJong traded today. The Cubbies added a bat. We'll get to that as the show goes along. We talked a lot of Illinois football yesterday. And one guy that I've had my mind on for quite a while, that's going to creep him out, actually. Maybe I shouldn't say that before we bring Tom on. But is Tom Dienhart, because he is a guy that knows the Big Ten as well as anybody out there. He covers Purdue right now for On3.com. And he just does a wonderful job with that. And I know there's some anticipation with the Purdue game this season for Illinois, but a lot of things happening in the Big Ten. And to me, Tom is one of the deans of the guys that cover this thing. So we thought we'd bring him on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Tom, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. Ready for the season. The Boilermakers kicked the lid off their practice schedule tomorrow. So we'll also be exactly 1 month away from the start of the season. So I know some teams link. Nebraska starts their season August 31st, so we're all getting closer to the start of the year. It's nice.
You know it is, Tom, and I know anticipation around Illinois is very high. 8 wins, as you know. A lot of guys back. Season tickets are up around 10,000 this year, so a lot of fans anxious. How is it in Purdue? New coach and Ryan Walters, a young kid that is easily likable. I've read some of your articles about how he's really fitting in with that team. What is the anticipation of Purdue this season? Pretty high?
Yeah, just a lot of excitement, I think. Just a totally new vibe. You guys know Coach Walter. He's very engaging. And, a nice youthful energy here. Now, I think he's got some work to do. There's some talent to work with. But Purdue lost some pretty key players from last year, number one. And number two, boy, look at that schedule Purdue's got to play this year. It's one of the more challenging schedules, I think, in the Big Ten. Cross division opponents, Michigan and Ohio State, in addition to Indiana. So Purdue's got to deal with that. And they got three pretty, I think, solid non-conference games. Fresno State, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse. There's no real cupcake among those three games. So Walters faced a pretty stout schedule this fall.
Tom, Ryan Walters has made some noise in the recruiting front, and on the angle in terms of the immediate is Hudson Card getting the transfer quarterback from Texas. I know Illinois was involved with him in terms of a battle. Purdue won out. What do you think that he'll bring? I know that still kind of unproven at the collegiate level, but what's the expectations like for him in year one in West Lafayette?
He's sky high, to be honest with you. He got here in January. That was the guy Purdue wanted. Ryan Walters wanted Hudson Card. One of the first things he did as the head coach of Purdue was get on a plane, go to Austin, Texas, to recruit and to woo Hudson Card. So he's the face of the program. He's going to have to be the straw that stirs the drink, if you will. And I tell you what, in the spring, he really checked a lot of boxes for Purdue. He looked good, made all the passes, just earned a lot of effusive praise from the staff and from the players. So he has to pick up where he left off and continue to play well this fall if he wants any chance to get to the postseason.
What are you expecting stylistically from Purdue? Usually a spread it out offense, pass heavy, get Graham Harrell coming in. taking over the reins in terms of calling plays. Is it going to be pretty traditional Purdue offensively? Is there any difference between what we've seen recently, Jeff Brohm versus now Graham Harrell coming in?
It's going to be an air raid based offense, how they're phrasing it. You know, Graham Harrell is a Mike Leach disciple, play quarterback for Mike Leach. They want to spread you out. They want to throw it around. They're not going to be real complex. Doesn't sound like it's a real deep playbook, but what they run, they want to be able to execute and master and be able to play at full speed. So, you know, they want balance, but I still think this is going to be an offense that's very quarterback-centric, which plays to produce tradition of being a cradle of quarterbacks. You know, Ryan Walters has said when he got this job being a defensive guy, he needs to make sure he hired a coach who really knew the offensive side of the ball, could almost be a de facto head coach on that side of the ball. And you know, he really trusts what Graham Harrell can do here. So it's going to be fun. I think Purdue has a chance to be pretty salty on offense if they can keep Hudson Card healthy this year.
One more on the Purdue front, Tom. You've been around the league a long time, I know that. And to see a coach from a staff go and then get a job within the conference, especially a division like Ryan Walters here, and just immediately Bielema and Ryan Walters battling for guys and recruiting, and they've sent some jabs back and forth over Twitter. Have you seen anything like that before in terms of like that immediate dynamic in the league, and how maybe unique and fun is that?
Yeah, I can't recall off the top of my head. Obviously it's happened, but yeah, it's kind of fun. They've had some fun on social media. They've gone after some of the same players, including Hudson Card. There's a big safety from the Chicago area, and Luke Williams. I know they both won. So yeah, they're going to continue to cross paths, obviously. Not just Ryan Walters came from Champaign, but obviously Ryan Walters brought with him four or five other Illinois personnel. Some of the assistant coaches, Kevin Kane, you know, Grant O'Brien. He brought some guys who were GAs last year, Joe Dineen, Preston Gordon. So, yeah, just a lot of Illinois flavor on this Purdue staff. So that's going to add to the intrigue when they meet, when they're recruiting. Also, September 30th here in West Lafayette, homecoming for Purdue. That's going to be when Illinois comes to West Lafayette and Brett Bielema and Ryan Walters get to face off against one another. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be a blast. I know Corey Patterson, one guy that is another one of those. And, of course, he was Isaiah Williams' coach in high school and at a younger age. So, obviously, Illinois fans worried when Corey went over to Purdue, but Isaiah stayed, and now he's one of the faces of Illinois. Follow Tom on Twitter. It's at TomDeanhart1. I noticed, Tom, you and I started on Twitter about the same time. You have 36,000 more followers, so congratulations. You're kicking my you-know-what on that. Listen, Tom, I wanted to ask you about Northwestern, and I know that there's not really a question that I could ask that would say, I don't think any of us thought that a Pat Fitzgerald team would go down that stretch, and I know that there's still things that have to be proven, et cetera, but just give me your take on what all happened at Northwestern and just how kind of out of the blue that was.
Stunned. That's the only way I can put it. Yeah. You know, fact is always stranger than fiction, the kind of story you couldn't make up. And if you did, I wouldn't have believed you if you had told me this last year or 2 years ago that half his field career would end like it's apparently ending here.
Well said.
You know, the iconic face of probably not just a program, but a university in a lot of ways, guys. You know his resume as well as I do. To see the season, how this all went down, and the story's still unfolding before our very eyes, obviously, with lawsuits being filed. I think more people are probably going to lose their jobs when it's all said and done. How high up will that go is going to be the fascinating thing, I believe. So, and just a program, boy, guys, you talk about falling into the abyss. They won the Big Ten West in 2018, 2020. You know, they've struggled recently, but there's absolutely no chance to turn the corner now to get back to those heights they experienced just 4 or 5 years ago. Where do you go from here if you're Northwestern trying to get a stadium renovated, too? So just a shocker, right? A sad story, a lot of victims here. It'll be interesting to see how Fitzgerald comes out of this thing 4, 5, or 6 years. But right now, Northwestern's got such bigger fish to fry to try to figure out how they're going to keep a team together and try to be competitive this fall, too.
Yeah, well said. I just always thought, man, how lucky is Northwestern to get a guy like that coach, in other words, that's going to stay there and could have gone anywhere, and now all of a sudden this happens, and it's like, oof. Okay, just a couple more for you on the Big Ten, Tom. You've got UCLA, USC coming into conference play next season. Of course, there's all sorts of rumors out there with all these other teams. As a traditionalist, because I am, and I'm assuming Tom is, what do you think of USC and UCLA coming in?
Yeah, I had to throw my traditional hat out the window, unfortunately. It's just kind of exciting when you think about it, right?
It is.
To schools of that ilk, that brand recognition, that fame, that depth of history and tradition, UCLA and USC, kind of cool, right?
Yes.
It's just going to make everybody's job that much more difficult in the Big Ten. You know, 2024 is going to be such a big year for the conference and for college football overall. When we go to the 12-team playoff, of course, the Big Ten will go from two divisions to no divisions, 16 schools. The SEC is going to bring in Texas and Oklahoma. I guess you kind of wonder where the merry-go-round is going to stop.
Right.
There's some crazy speculation that continues to take place with Colorado leaving the Pac-12 recently. Well, is there going to be another domino to fall? Will it be four or five dominoes to fall? How big is this going to go? So, it's kind of fun following the soap opera, but yeah, from a Big Ten standpoint, you know, to bring in schools like, again, the Trojans and the Bruins, I think what was maybe the crowning achievement of Kevin Warren's Big Ten commissioner tenureship, which, as you guys know, was full of some dubious decisions. But the one thing he did do that was good was bring those two schools in, I believe.
Amen.
While we're stretching it from one coast to the other, would you like to just see Florida State, Clemson, some of these other schools that have been rumored? Is it why not at this point?
I think maybe 20 may end up being the number these two big conferences get to at some point.
Yeah,
I never envisioned Florida State and Clemson really being serious Big Ten targets. You always heard about North Carolina and Virginia in particular, the ACC being more aligned just philosophically from a university standpoint to the Big Ten schools. And heck, honestly, I guess I was more focused on maybe bringing in some West Coast schools to help out USC and UCLA, have more of a Western Big Ten flank, if you will, with Washington and Oregon, as we've all heard. And you always hear about them maybe bringing in Stanford and Cal, and of course the real gold use is Notre Dame. And could you get Stanford, Notre Dame, along with Oregon or Washington? If he had some foursome like that, it would be incredible. I just don't think if the Big Ten, as many schools you can add that are really going to move the needle, obviously like Notre Dame. Would Clemson or Florida State move the needle? Maybe more than Washington and Oregon. Plus, I guess it would take the Big Ten into a new part of the country as well.
I agree 100%. At on3.com, at Tom Deanhart is where you follow him. He has been covering the Big Ten for a while, and I always enjoy talking to Tom. It's been a while, so great to have you back on the airways, my friend, and enjoy a solid Big Ten season again.
Yeah, I know you're a Blues fan, too. It's been a long time since we've talked. I think we've probably been talking for over 10 years, so thanks for having me.
Hey, you are welcome and a great memory. Tom's got me in every – he's got me in every sector. Thank you, Tom, again, buddy. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
That is Tom Deanhart. Good stuff there. And again, joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. I'm getting rusty because I heard a dial tone in there. I didn't shut it off quick enough. Tom's been doing this for a long time, and I always enjoy reading his stuff. I always feel bad when I say he's been doing this a long time because he probably thinks, all right, enough.
You're calling him old. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's what people are like. Man, Lon, how long have you been doing the radio show? I'm like, enough. I know I'm old. Just let it go and let's move on.
Did you guys get Red Grange on at one point?
Stevie did.
Yeah, that was Stevie.
Yeah, I was. I was just a little bit ahead of or behind that. So, no, that was pretty good though. That was pretty good. You know, speaking of that, and maybe we stay on that topic. And Kyle, again, we've got you on notice. I guess the one thing to throw out real quick: Paul DeJong has been traded to Toronto. Did we basically just say, you give us your farm system and we'll give you like six players? I mean, it seems like we've gotten how many Toronto guys now? We got somebody for Cabrera. We got two for
Jordan Hicks.
And now we've got another one for Paul DeJong, and it's a left-handed savant, I think is his last name or something like that. A pretty good ERA, young kid. You just don't know. These kids are 21, 22, 23 years old in AA, AAA baseball. You don't know if they're going to end up being a starter for the Cardinals down the road. You just, what Mazalak is doing is he's trying to get as many guys in there as possible in hopes that one or two cash in, right? And you add depth to the organization.
Yeah, you're loading up the volume of it, guys that will be in the mix here in the coming years. But none of those players that we just mentioned, whether it's going to be Jordan Hicks, who's going to be a valuable piece for them in the back end of their bullpen, and then they have Bo Bichette go down and needing to go out and get Paul DeJong, but neither one really is going to command a high upside type of prospect. And I know that was actually, I was reading up on ESPN about the Jordan Montgomery deal to the Rangers, and one criticism was that the Cardinals maybe settled for some more middle-of-the-road type of arms that maybe project as you'd hope, like a back end of the rotation, instead of trying to maybe piece Montgomery and Hicks together to get like a shot into like a top 100 type
That's
of
fair.
Prospect. So, but then again, it's all projection. I'm not going to pretend to know about the savant. I hope he's a savant on the mound. I don't know, but we're still waiting too. Like, where's Jack Flaherty going?
Right. And do you mix in O'Neill or Carlson with a Flaherty and do what you're talking about in terms of really making a splash with someone back, somebody that is almost like a sure, like a five-star guy, right? Mm-hmm. That you know is going to make an impact on your organization. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I can't imagine Flaherty is not traded. I can't. And the only wild card that I see out there, well, the wild cards to me would be Carlson, O'Neill, or Wilson Contreras. Like, I don't think those three will be traded, but those are kind of the ones that, like, oh, whoa, hold on a second. What happened here? So we'll see. And maybe, I mean, I think Flaherty on his own, you know, with Baltimore, with San Francisco especially, I think those teams will covet him, maybe even the Yankees. So I don't know that you necessarily need to add a piece with him to get a decent return. But certainly if that would help, then maybe you go ahead and do it. I do want to check in with Kyle. You guys got your bat, not John Candelaria, who was the long time ago pitcher for the Pirates and I think maybe the Giants. I'll have to look at that in Baseball Reference. But you guys did add a bat, Kyle. What do you think of that move?
I love it.
Okay.
I didn't know if they were going to be bold enough to go get a guy like Candelario. He's probably the best bat on the market in terms
That's
of
awesome.
Rentals. And they go and they make that move. Clearly, they feel like that the hot stretch wasn't a fluke, that they can make a run at this division. They got a ton of games against the Reds and Brewers coming up in these last 2 months. And I'm excited that they're being this aggressive. It's quite the turnaround from about 2-3 weeks ago when it was doom and gloom.
Baseball,
and they
baby.
They were 8 games under, and all right, let's what prospects are we getting for Bellinger? And now we're adding a guy to the lineup with him, so I'm pretty excited about
it. So you don't think Bellinger's going anywhere, obviously.
He's not.
Give me the Candelaria. Give me some of his stats. What's his first name? I don't know.
Jamer,
that's right. So what do we know about him? We play first?
He has played mainly third, but he can play first, and the Cubs are interested in playing him a little at first, but he's a switch hitter, having a really good year, 30 doubles, 16 homers, 53 RBIs, and it's the pop that this Cubs lineup needed. They got a lot of contacty guys. The biggest complaint for me has been there just isn't enough power in the lineup outside of Bellinger and Morel, and now you add another guy, so I think it's a perfect fit.
Who was the kid that came over from the Reds, the outfielder that hit doubles going out of style for the Cubs? They traded for him at a deadline.
Castellanos,
yes. Yeah. So that kind of reminded me when you said it's a guy that hits a lot of doubles, and I thought to myself, Castellanos, he might turn those doubles into homers at Wrigley if the wind's, you know, doing the right thing.
Well, he when the Nationals came to Wrigley like 2 weeks ago, he hit two homers into the basket, it'll work perfectly for him.
Never fails.
And they could use him in this high-scoring Cubs-Red series that got underway last night. Stroman's been dicey of late, but
Dicey's generous.
Yeah, okay. He's been bad. He's been flat out bad.
What has happened? Like, he seems more hittable.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened. I feel like ever since that game in London where he left the game with a blister.
You're welcome.
Hey, you know you're going downhill if the Cardinals are picking you apart. Although they always
have.
Well,
they always
have.
Yeah,
they always have. Which is weird. Which is really.
I don't know. He's just leaving every pitch over the middle of the plate. He's so good at pounding the bottom of the zone, getting ground balls, yeah. And now it's just every pitch is middle. Guys are crushing him. I don't really know what's wrong.
You wonder if a guy like that could miss a start, miss one start, and kind of rest for a start. Now, that's risky. Or maybe you somehow figure out how to push him back an extra 2 days. I don't know. Just to let maybe there's something going on to where he's kind of getting some arm fatigue or something like that. Now, I assume these guys talk. I mean, they obviously are. The communication, I would hope, would be open to the point where he would say, man, if you could just get, you know, let me have a couple days rest and then I'm good to go. That's what that 10-day IL is perfect for, right? And you can put it back to, like, literally the day after he started. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe nothing's wrong with him. Maybe he would scoff at that and say, I don't need rest. Just put me back out there. I'm going to win a game. But he is a big hope for the Cubs down the stretch, Derek. If you don't have Stroman getting back to where he kind of was at the start, then I don't know that you catch the Reds down the stretch.
Yeah, you need that. Or the Brewers, sorry. You need that top-of-the-rotation duo of Steele and Stroman to really have it working there. And I've been interested, and maybe they're not going to do it. I mean, there's what, like an hour left in the deadline. If the Cubs were going to add another starting pitcher, maybe that's not the direction they're going to go. They obviously prioritized a bat in that order to be able to get that surge up in the standings. So no doubt that Stroman at the top is a big key, and especially when you think about some of those matchups down the stretch in September when you got kind of an ace versus an ace in a series, and you need Stroman to win a handful of those to be able to make up that ground. That's going to be very important for the Cubs.
We will talk some more baseball as we go along. And again, Kyle is on Baseball Watch. Maybe just because I love doing it, we could maybe do a little of that. We need a button maybe for breaking news kind of stuff. But we'll get something in there.
Do we have an MLB button?
Oh, yeah, we do. Dun, dun, that's dun, right. Dun, dun. Yeah, what am I thinking? This is when my guy Harold Reynolds walks through the door. What's up, Harold? Oh, wait, he's not walking through the door.
Here's what I'm wondering.
Yes. I'm going to leave this on while we talk baseball.
What the heck are we supposed to do for the next month as Cardinals fans?
Oh.
I've never been here. Kyle, can you fill me in? What happens when your team
that's low.
Is out of it? At the start of August, like, how do you know fill out do? The rest of your
usually
summer?
I just flip on some training camp highlights and read up on some Illinois for a while.
Pipes
there
came out gunning today, man. He came out firing. Yeah, well, what we do is we make a trip to Springfield, Missouri, or we make a trip to Memphis, Tennessee, and we see the young kids. We want to see Savant. If that's his name.
I want to see Mason Wynn on the big league
too. Now, I think they have to wait a little bit, right? Or he loses his rookie status for next season. So it won't be tonight because Tommy Edman is due back tonight. So I'm guessing he'll be your starting shortstop tonight. Or what's the dude's name with the long hair? Taffer or something? No, he's I think he does Bar Rescue, John Taffer. Great show, though, by the way, if you've never seen it. Have you guys watched Bar Rescue?
No.
Awesome. Dude, you need to
binge that. What are the odds when you ask me, have you watched this?
I know.
It's usually like a 90 to 95% no.
What's amazing is that after raising two boys that I forget how crazy your life is right now in terms of being able to just sit down and watch TV. I mean, you don't get that chance. Yeah, Bar Rescue is the thing that I record them and there'll be like 20 of them on my DVR. And if I've got nothing going on, like, if the Cardinals are down 5-0 after the first inning, I just flip it over to Bar Rescue and just watch a bunch of those. Because I've always wanted to own a bar, and I think it's pretty cool how John comes in and rescues them and yells at them, and then they hug at the end, and there's tears, and such a pretty thing.
Sounds cool.
I like those stories that, you know, as opposed to the dark side of the ring where they start happy and then this happened. Oh, crap.
All I'm saying is look out for me in fantasy football this year because I'm going to have a lot of time in my hands the next month to study.
Okay.
I got no baseball to really care about.
No.
Unfortunately.
Mason Wynn's like the only thing we got. Unless you want to
see
this.
Jordan Walker, I want to watch him.
Johnny King or whatever, the lefty we picked up, see how he does.
Nope.
I'm interested in the Cubbies now to see if they can catch the Brew Crew and the Reds. In the Central.
That's true. You can watch other baseball.
If you take the Cardinals out of it and you know, the misery that has been that season, this will be kind of a cool finish. You got a Reds team that, you know, you talk about a team that hasn't experienced what they're experiencing now for a while. So I'm happy for those guys, even though I would never tell Dan Hartlib that. But I'm happy for the Reds fans. And obviously the Cubbies are within shouting distance if that's something could happen there. And then you got kind of the Brewers who are just kind of doing what they do and just hanging around. So I don't know. It should be a fun finish to the Central. And like Kyle said, you guys play each other a lot coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, Kyle's got us on watch. So let us know if Jack Flaherty gets traded or if the Cubs add anybody else. This is from Twitter, at Aaron Lemming NFL. This is why you need to follow him. Aaron Lemming just tweeted out what Jeremy Fowler had tweeted out, that the defensive tackle Bravion Roy claimed by the Bears. Roy played 45 games with 15 starts for Carolina. He now gives Chicago some interior presence. Any thoughts on that, Derek Piper? Guy played 45 games, or are you doing Alante where you're like, I have no idea who Bravion Roy is?
I don't know who that is.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, 15 starts for the Panthers last year, so we'll see. They just need to keep adding, right, on that defense.
Is that defensive lineman?
Yeah, he's a defensive lineman.
They need pass rush. They need bulk up front. That's really their weakness.
Yeah.
Either against the run or getting after quarterback. That's something they really need to bolster up on.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
I'm already thinking about week one. I'm going to be way too amped.
Who they play week one? Do they do it again?
They do it again.
The Packers?
Yeah, thank God it's not on Sunday Night Football. Thank God Aaron Rodgers will not be there. So I'm thinking different. I think we're going to win. I could have my heart broken, but.
And I know it's not Reggie Love.
It's Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
They can't. They
can't
do it again.
You know he's
going to
come out.
They can't
like
do it again.
Four touchdowns.
They can't do it again. Don't do it. They can't.
And that Monday.
Oh, my God.
Derek. Jordan Love threw for four touchdowns, 335 yards, and the Packers beat the Bears. Actually, I would not even expect you to show up if that happened.
I'll take an Uber because I'll still be drunk.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, instead of the sad, that'll be more of the piped up, right? That would be more of the let's
go. Are you about to be blasphemous?
That is blasphemous. Oh, man, I can't wait for this season in the NFL. I literally am in a weird spot where I'm pulling for my team to lose every week. You guys were in that last year. And not only that, but the Houston Texans. Like, I have two teams that I'm going to focus in on this season and hope that they both just get their brains beat in week out. It's funny, though, watching that Netflix series on quarterbacks. It's last year, like one of the last games of the season, the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, beat the Texans by like 6 points. I mean, the NFL is a crazy thing. You don't normally get a lot of blowouts in the NFL, and you get a lot of close games. So it will be weird, even though most of my life, my team has always kind of been on the wrong end of those close games. It'll be weird now to be on the other end while I'm hoping they're on that end, and yet they'll throw some miracle in there where I'm like, why are we winning games with Colt McCoy? I mean,
like, shout out to the Texans beating the Colts last
year. Exactly. I mean, so I could definitely see the Cardinals doing that. But if they did, maybe they'd still get the first pick because the Texans would be number two and we could still handle it. All right, when we come back, I do want to kind of focus in more on this USC-UCLA coming back. Mm-hmm. And then what are some other options going on out there in college football? We know for a fact, obviously, that the Bruins and Trojans are coming in, so we don't have to necessarily focus on that. But what else could happen for the Big Ten? Is Clemson a reality? And what do you think of that? You could text us at 359-2255. That's the U of I Atlanta Link text line, 217-359-2255. How about Washington? How about Oregon? Sounds like maybe Arizona is going to move to the Big 12. And if your team's like Arizona State, Arizona out in the Pac-12, do you make the move now and not wait around to see what everybody else is doing? Because all of a sudden you could get left behind. It's just a crazy world right now in college. And what's too many teams? Are we there already in the Big Ten where, what will it be, 14 or 16? It'll be 16.
It's going to be 16, yep.
So is that too many? And then here's the other question. So I want to ask you guys that. Is that too many teams? And then the other question is, let's say you got to 20, like Tom Dienhart said, do you then go into pods? Although I don't know how you do that. 20 divided by 3, you know, there's no common, well, I guess you could go into 5 pods of 4 or 4 pods of 5, I guess, is how you could do that. So Do you do that and then maybe have at the end where you have four teams, whoever wins each pod, those four line up to play each other. Then the winners of those, you know, two games play each other for the Big Ten championship. And if that's the case, do you knock off a non-conference game early in the year? And if that's the case, if you don't make it to the championships with the pods, then what are you doing? Because you're only playing, you're playing one less game. So there's just a lot of stuff to think about, and I want to throw all that out to you guys and get your thoughts. 359-2255 is on that. We are back. It is The Drive.
Curtis Orchard. Randy explains.
So this is the time of year that we're looking for enthusiastic, energetic employees for our family business. Our employees enjoy each other's company. They enjoy interacting with the public. So we're looking for some capable, friendly, enthusiastic young people and older people alike who want a part-time job to be employees for the season.
It means a lot to us that our customers are like family and our employees are like family. We have a lot of employees that have been with us 15 to 20 years. They come back every year, and it's because we all like working together. We all enjoy working together. And even though it gets really frantic in the fall, if you've ever been out there on a fall weekend, you know what I'm talking about. It's just wonderful to get to know your customers, your community, and be able to serve them.
So we want friendly people who have the same values that we have, you know, which is caring for people and giving them a great experience while they're out at the farm. You can visit CurtisOrchard.com and apply online today.
Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling is getting summer started with some fresh new products. Take a break from the sun and get a taste of cool, crisp, refreshing Starry Lemon Lime flavored soda. Stay hydrated with Gatorade's new Fast Twitch Energy Drink and get your daily source of vitamin A and C with Gatorade Fit. Find your afternoon pick-me-up with Starbucks Caramel and White Chocolate Mocha Frappuccino mini cans. Order these delicious beverages and everything else with Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling Company. Visit PepsiColaCU.com.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location this summer. Shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hearing The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. Derek Piper is to my left. Kyle Tosk is on baseball watch to my right. Any Jack Flaherty news yet?
Nope.
Okay. And the Cubs have not added another pitcher.
They have not, but okay. They have officially added Candelario to the roster, okay. And he is in the lineup tonight.
Oh! Hoping to catch a little... whatever I'm trying to say. It does sound like Verlander heading to the Dodgers?
Is that right? Back to Houston.
Or Houston. Back to Houston. That was my fault. Yeah, what the heck? How much, like...
They just won the World Series last year.
I know.
They're really good again, and they get Verlander back.
Here we go. Well, that's what we get.
Right. Scherzer to Texas.
Yeah.
That happened a couple of days ago.
Yep.
Along with Montgomery.
Okay.
I really like that team.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think that's... I'd be okay with Texas. They've never won one.
No.
They've never won a World Series. Boy, did they come close. As we know. But, yeah, I'd be okay. I'd be okay with the Rangers. I'll have to kind of juggle it up, or not juggle it up, but kind of sit back down and focus on who's in the playoffs and who I want to kind of not really pull for, but just kind of have an interest in. It would be neat if the Reds made it and I could kind of pull for them to see if they could do some damage. But I don't know, I'm sure they could get pretty annoying quick. So, especially with that.
Who's going to be the new Brandon Phillips?
No. Is it De La Cruz?
I hope not, because I just have way too much fun watching him.
I agree.
He's ridiculously talented. Striking out a lot recently, but he's pretty awesome.
He's really good. All right, college football. Kyle, I want to bring you back into this as we go through this. Obviously, next season, the Big Ten will have 16 teams, so you are now done with the East and West, and essentially whoever has the top two records in the Big Ten will meet for the Big Ten championship and then go from there. Expanded playoff, is that coming up this year? Or is that next year?
I don't think it's this year.
Or have we even voted on that? Am I just in my mind thinking that we've voted on expanded playoffs? But regardless, the Big Ten, we know, will have 16, and as Pipes looks that up, he's not as quick, ironically, with two hands as he is left-handed.
2024.
Okay, so is this season would be 23. Yeah, so, all right, one more year for the expanded. So you only have four in the playoffs this season. I would presume that next season, though, with eight, so you might have a chance. It'll be interesting to see how that works. So I want to.
It's going to 12 teams.
Oh, 12.
Starting in 2024.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're definitely going to have two from the Big Ten. Maybe more. When you go to 12, I can't imagine you wouldn't, but maybe not. We'll see. We'll see how that all works out. So I'll ask you guys this, and Kyle, I'll start with Pipes. What is enough? Like, to me, this is already too much with 16 teams in the Big Ten. And if they happen to get to 20, I mean, when does it end? And how much is too much for you?
I agree with you that in my traditional way of looking at it, I've already reached past the point of too much. But now it's a war between the Big Ten and the SEC in terms of an arm race and trying to stay on par with each other in terms of the number of teams, in terms of the TV revenue. And I actually, during the break, because Florida State's been a squad that, or an athletic program that's been brought up as a team that would be on the move for football, obviously, and all other sports. And the Big Ten has gotten some rumors here recently. And seeing the TV numbers, the difference between what the Big Ten's commanding, what the SEC's commanding, is kind of jarring. Like, it says the Big Ten recently signed a 7-year, $8 billion deal between Fox, CBS, and NBC. The SEC starts a 10-year, $3 billion deal.
Wow.
With ESPN. So,
wow.
Is it that big of a difference?
It must be.
So, we're talking big money here. And there are a team like Florida State, especially for the Big Ten, then to dip into another region of the country, another market, would be a big addition. We're already going, as we talked about with Tom Dienhart, coast to coast, east to west. But to get to your question about too much, at this point, I want Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I know you got to make it make sense. I think it, as Tom was saying, to add some teams on the West Coast to give USC and UCLA some easier road trips, I think that makes sense
it
for
does.
Them. It makes
it
sense
totally
for
does.
Teams going out there in especially non-revenue sports to kind of play, all right, we're going to play this West Coast road trip.
Yep.
Kind of similar as you see in, like, in baseball or the NBA, instead of just, all right, one or two games out there, then we're back. So Oregon would be awesome. Washington, I'm okay on.
Yeah. You referenced it twice, and I'm glad you did, because I hardly ever do, and I think most people don't think about it. This is all sports. It's easy to just think of it in a football way, right? I mean, I don't even think of it in a basketball way. Like, I don't, to this day, I still haven't really thought about USC and UCLA coming in to play basketball. Obviously, I have. We've talked about it. But it, when I think of it immediately, I automatically think of football. And I know it's tailored for that. But certainly, you have to understand that the other programs are bringing in all these other sports. And what is Oregon good at? Running, right? I mean, there's a lot of things they're good at. But then you kind of have to dig in and see, oh, okay, that's a really good baseball school, or that's this, or it's just interesting as you go along. The other thing is, now, I know I don't think many people balance their checkbook anymore. You really don't have to. You just check your phone or whatever, and you see what your balance is. But if another two teams come in on this $8 billion deal, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm Illinois, aren't I losing money? In other words, you're losing a piece of the $8 billion, or you're not losing it, but you're making
it's being
less,
divvied
right?
Up
yeah.
So, into other
so I
shares.
Wonder, or does that, I don't know, in a more complicated world that I don't ever study in finances, or is that just going to add strength to your next TV deal? But you've got a while before your next TV deal.
7-year deal, yeah.
So I would be interested to say, all right, okay, we're bringing in Clemson and, you know, whoever from the East, and we're also bringing in Washington and Oregon. Well, there's four other teams. Now you got to divvy that $8 million up among four other. Now, I'm sure there'd be ways that they would say, all right, your first year, you only get a little bit of it. Second year, a little bit more. Third year, and maybe by your fifth year, you're equal with everybody else that's already been in the Big Ten. I don't know. I mean, that's something that would be interesting to find out as to how that payoff, and I'm sure there's something out there that's somebody could tell us.
I'm sure Kevin Warren wrote in tiny print that if you add these other teams, all the profits go to Michigan.
All the profits go to Michigan.
But
well done.
I do think that.
Wait a minute. And wait a minute. You deserve one for Kyle earlier with the what do you do these months? Oh, it's been too long for that.
It has been. On a serious note, especially with the deal that's already there between Notre Dame and NBC,
yeah.
If that gets reworked at all, and if there was any language in the contract of adding a team, especially of that stature and draw nationally, that would add even more money to that deal, which would make sense. It should, but yeah. Then again, I understand the ink is dry on these other contracts.
Now, it's interesting. I'm old, so that I'm more of a traditionalist. I remember the Big Ten before Nebraska and Penn State, and I don't like what's happening, but I've kind of rolled with the punches a little bit, and I think it is kind of neat, like Tom said, to bring in Tom Dienhart, to bring in a USC and a UCLA, teams like that that we've heard about as a mythical teams basically forever, because those were always you were either playing one of those two teams in the Rose Bowl if you made it. And that was always a dream to get to the Rose Bowl to then run into a USC or a UCLA. So they've always kind of been a mythical team to people my age with regards to that. And I still look at UCLA and USC as like teams like, oh, we can't beat them, but you can. I mean, they're really not that much better. But then, you know, you got guys like Pipes who are, I mean, you're not even quite middle age, obviously. Well, I mean, I'm middle age. You're not even quite to halfway point of that. And yet you're kind of bothered by it. So I want to switch to Kyle. Kyle, you're so young that you don't remember the Big Ten without Penn State and Rutgers and these teams. So from a younger perspective, what do you think of all of this? And is 20 fine with you? Like, are you not bothered at all by the thought of the Big Ten going out and maybe adding another four teams in the future? And I didn't have you on. Sorry. My bad. Go.
I wouldn't say I'm not bothered, but I think it's past a point now where, like you said, we're past the point of, is this too much? We already are getting to 16. I think that already takes away the regional, smaller conference feel. So to me, at this point, I'm just going to embrace where this is headed. And especially fair. If it's going to end up being like the two super conferences with the Big Ten and the SEC, at that point, just give me the most fun matchups and teams and programs. Like a Notre Dame would be great. An Oregon would be great. I've come to a point where I realize that this is going to get to the 20 mark. This is going to get to a point where there's not even a discussion of, is this too much? It's not. It doesn't even feel like a conference anymore. So at that point, I just want to see the best programs and have the most fun with some of the matchups that we could see here, because we're just never getting back to that smaller regional feel anymore.
When you add these teams, then teams like Illinois, let's be honest, in basketball, there's still that shot of winning a conference title if your conference is still called the Big Ten in 10 years. I don't know. But there'd still be that chance, we feel like, especially now. Now, 10 years from now, Brett Bielema may have this football program. Maybe he is retiring then, passing it off, and all of a sudden Illinois is what Wisconsin has been in the last, you know, decade or 15, 20 years, to where we feel like we could absolutely play for a conference title. But you almost get to the sense that, I mean, first of all, Pipes, winning a Big Ten championship anymore, you got to really get it done to win that, and good luck getting those.
I mean, yeah, the gap already between Ohio State, Michigan, and really everybody else.
You're right, in football.
In football,
yeah,
for sure.
You're right.
I mean, there is that next tier where Penn State's kind of lingered, although they haven't in recent seasons been that close to their heels in terms of those top two.
Agree.
Wisconsin, like you mentioned, have been in that realm at a stage in Mark D'Antonio's tenure at Michigan State.
Good call.
They actually made a college football playoff appearance 1 year. So it is doable, but it just seems like it's already so insurmountable of a climb for Illinois to win a Big Ten championship, go to the Big Ten championship game, then actually beat Ohio State or actually beat Michigan, although they almost beat Michigan last year.
Yeah.
And then you add in a national power like USC. Mm. And UCLA, I mean, they've been, over the last 2 years in particular with Chip Kelly, been a pretty good program as well. So that does make it seem that much harder on the football side. Yeah, basketball, like Illinois as it is right now, I know that UCLA's been to a Final Four here in the last couple of years, but I don't think they're looking up too high or at all at a program like UCLA they just beat last year or USC either.
Yep.
So I don't think you worry as much about it on the basketball side, obviously, in comparison to football.
Do you set your sights, guys, on that 12-man playoff? Is that, in other words, and I'm not saying you don't set your sights on winning a Big Ten. I know that you always do that. And obviously, if you win that Big Ten, you're in the 12 team. But do you almost set your sights as saying, okay, well, listen, maybe we don't get to the mountaintop of the Big Ten, but maybe we finish third and still sneak in possibly to that 12-man. And does that even expand further down the road? But how much further can you expand in college football? Because unlike basketball, where you could play games every other day, essentially, or really ever if you need to, like they do in the conference tournaments, football's a little bit different. Let's be honest. You're not going to be playing football games every other day. You're going to have a week in between them. So there's the schedule. You can't go to a year-long schedule, I don't think. Maybe you can. But, you know, do you set your sights then instead of, like, saying, okay, well, maybe. I mean, at least in the West, I always felt like maybe Illinois could win a West title and get to the Big Ten championship game, and we saw it last year.
Yesterday, they should have done it last year.
Exactly. And I don't know why they couldn't compete for that this season as well. But then starting next year, now all of a sudden, you've got to either beat Michigan or Ohio State to get into that game. In other words, not just beat them head-to-head, but you got to be above them to get to the Big Ten championship game next year, not to mention USC and Penn State and every other team. And so I guess then is your thought, well, maybe we don't finish top two in the Big Ten, but if we could sneak into third with a couple of good wins, maybe we're that 12th team in the playoff. I mean, is that kind of where you set your – you're kind of into the season sights on, you know what I'm saying? I don't.
I think
still
that
bowl
would still
games
be
in the future.
That's what stinks. Like I think that, like the getting rid of the traditional Rose Bowl stinks.
It
like,
does.
I mean, and it worked out for Illinois in 07, where was it Ohio State that went to the national title game?
Yes.
Even though you beat them,
yep.
That was their one loss. They go to the title game, then you get to go to the Rose Bowl.
Go to the Rose.
Not saying that Illinois can't have a year. We've seen it. In basketball, every
no doubt.
15 years or so.
18
years, is that the magic number?
That's the magic.
In football, 01, 07, that there have been those instances when those are really, really good teams and can compete at a national level.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe the dream is just to get to the playoff. Not to say that if you're good enough to get there that you couldn't also win the Big Ten.
Right.
But then I start to wonder, if the Big Ten's going to load up to 20 and the SEC's going to load up to 20.
Do you need those other teams?
Are they going to break off and there is no college football playoff? There's a, like, the Big Ten is now the NFC. The SEC is now the AFC.
That's a good point.
They have their own playoff, and then they meet in the quote-unquote Super Bowl. I don't know.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing to think when you just said that, how they could literally be like the NFC and AFC.
Well, that's what I'd pitched to Notre Dame.
Like, yeah.
What are you playing for if we do that?
And then what do you know, then are you just essentially, you don't even think about teams in the Big 12 anymore or the Pac-12 or the
that would stink.
ACC or, I mean, you just don't even, you don't even consider those. It's crazy. And maybe every year you do the Big Ten SEC Challenge in football where each team has, each league has 20. So you're paired up with a SEC team. Illinois would play an SEC team every year, one of the seasons, or I mean, I'm sorry, one of the non-conference games. And then you play the rest of them conference games. I don't know.
Somebody's got to go play in London. And
oh, please don't, please. Oh, man. Please, not on that. Anything, Kyle?
It's not Cubs and Cardinals related, but there was something a little weird that just happened.
Let's tease this.
That's fine.
Let's tease this for the next hour. All right, I like that. I thought you were just going to come out and say Jack Flaherty has not been traded.
He hasn't
now,
yet.
Now, see, these deals all break about 4:15.
I'm getting nervous.
Isn't the deadline
this
done in 3 minutes?
A little more dead than I...
It's at 5 Central.
Oh, okay. My fault. That was my bad. I was thinking, great, so everything's going to happen right when we're off the air. That's what's going to happen. All right, listen, we're back with more nonsense. Next hour, weigh in, 359-2255. It is The Drive. Motley Crue.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com. Starting it over is what we do
at Max Twin City Recycling. It's Emily Atkins. She owns something called Happy Healing. Tell me about what you have planned coming up.
September 9th, we have our spiritual spa day. We have 3 wellness practitioners coming. We have Brenda, who does sound bowl healings with crystal bowls, Drea, who does facials, and we have Emily, who does massages. So we'll be selling tickets, and so you'll have a half hour of each, and then I'll be there and we can make candles too. You can go to the website, happyhealing.us.
When you're looking for a business to work with, you choose someone local, someone who's terrific at what they do, a company that helps others in need in Champaign-Urbana, and a company that stands behind what they do. That company is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors has been keeping the rain out for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy and their family work hard to not only make sure you're 100% satisfied by their work, but that they also strive to have a positive impact on Champaign-Urbana. Roof Doctors in Urbana, they make you their number one priority.
The Mahomet Music Festival, presented by Fisher National Bank, has been bringing this free, family-friendly event to Main Street in downtown Mahomet. Friday, August 25th, on the Darwin Boston State Farm stage for bands Zach Tompkins, Candy Foster in Shades of Blue, and Hairbangers Ball. On Saturday, August 26th, Christian band Sanctus Real will perform at 11 a.m. The headliner for this year's Mahomet Music Festival is Chris Jansen, who will perform on Saturday, August 26th at 9:30 p.m. Details at Mahomet Music.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home.